mind, I think, but I enjoy visiting, and I know you all do too, so it's good. It's good to see Rick with us today. I'm going to do things a little bit differently, maybe. Lesson's going to be out of Romans chapter 12, so if you want to get your Bibles, I want to read the entire chapter, and then we'll kind of go back over it. That's the way we'll do that. This is the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and I think he gives us some very good advice on how to worship and how to live a Christian life, and that's why I selected it. Starting off, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through men, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." There's a lot in that passage. And as I read it and studied on it last night, I thought, I think this is a good passage to study. We will also move on and do some other reading as we go along. But and he starts off by saying to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And I guess from my point of view, it's how well are we doing that? How well do we sacrifice and give up things? You know, persecution is something that this country has not had a lot of, but I think we're looking at it around the corner. I think it's very close. And that's one of the ways of sacrificing. You know, people used to say years ago, well, a Christian life is a dull life because you can't do anything that the world does that they think's enjoyable. I argue with that because when you see the peace and the joy that Christians have from living the Christian life and knowing that they're in God's hands, that far outweighs all the temporal enjoyment and blessings you can have. And so it's you know, I just think it's, most of you know I worked construction a lot of years, and those guys are all macho type, you know, they do a lot of hard work, and they kind of think that's what it takes to be a man, is to be able to exert a lot of strength and show people how big and strong you are. They were saying around the bricklaying business, if somebody said, let's go to the sand pile, that meant they're going to fight it out. And every once in a while, you'd hear that. And but they thought that was what it took to be a man. They felt that was what it took to be a man. But I believe that living a Christian life takes more of a man than it does to fight and feud and chase women and do some of the things that a lot of those people did. Okay, and we'll go on to the next verse. It's a true and proper worship. You know, we look at our worship as gathering here on Sunday mornings, and it is a worship service to God. We sing songs of praise, we pray, we read the Bible, we fellowship with one another, and so it is part of our worship service. But Paul tells us that presenting our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, is worship to God. That's part of our worship. He goes on and he says, be not transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Study, pray, meditate on God's word. You know, in James he says, you remember the story there where he says the guy looks into the perfect law of liberty and then he walks away and forgets about what he saw. That's what the Bible does for us. We think we're pretty good people, most of us. But if you measure yourself up to what God said, you'll find out you're quite short. You know, I think most of you know the scripture that says that our works are like filthy rags. That's what we try to live godly lives, and he tells us to be holy and to live godly lives. But in God's eyes, we need to understand that the way we see ourselves and the way he can see us may be totally different. And so we need to read the Bible, we need to study the Bible and meditate on it to see how God looks at us and what he tells us how to live and how to worship. Okay. It says, if you do that, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's good will and good, pleasing, and perfect will is. And so there's another scripture there that challenges us to test and approve and to understand God's word so that we can know his will. And he says it's a perfect will. And, you know, that's something that sometimes I think people question. They will question the Bible. They will question how it's written. But he says it's a perfect will. Psalms also in chapter 19 talks about the Lord's will and how it is perfect and complete. And, you know, there are people that like to add to the scripture sometimes in their church worship and in their livings. And you don't need to add anything to it. It's perfect and it is complete. Then he moves on to don't think of yourself more highly than you should. That's a pride issue that we all have to struggle with. There's nothing wrong with having confidence in the accomplishments you've made and you've had in life. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't think that puts you any higher on the totem pole when it comes to pleasing God and having his grace on you. As I've said many times, we're all sinners, only saved by grace. You know, you've seen it happen, I'm sure, and it happens a lot in society where people will honor somebody that's supposedly important and overlook people of just everyday life, so to speak. And yet, they're just as valuable. These people are just as valuable as those people who have accomplished a lot of things. So we need to be careful about how we look down on other people. The word a lot of people use is condescending and talking down to people, making them feel like that they're not good enough and not important. We want to guard against that. Think of yourself with sober judgment according to the faith God has given you. That's kind of the final words on what he's talking about here as to how you view yourself. And, you know, you have to remember that it's according to faith God has given you. It's not of your own works. He talks about the one body has many members. We understand that from a physical point of view. Our hands do certain things, our eyes do certain things, our ears do certain things, and so on and so forth. And yet they depend on each other. And that's the way the body of Christ is. We all have different talents. We have different gifts. And, of course, those are based on what God has given us. And I think the thing that stood out to me is he said that we all belong to each other. And that's kind of interesting to me. This translation gives a little different wording than some of the ones that I'm used to. But in a way, we do belong to each other, just like our hands belong to our arm and our body and our life and so on. He's using the physical body as an illustration as to how the spiritual body is. And we all function differently. Our gifts are according to the grace God has given us. The gifts are for edifying, building up, and building up the church. Then he goes into the various different ways that we serve and that the gifts we have. He talks about teaching. If that's your gift, then you should teach. He talks about encouraging. If that's your gift, we need to encourage one another. Giving, give diligently. Leading, you want to do that with the right attitude and not be boastful or lord it over somebody if you're a leader. That's part of the qualifications of an elder, is not to use that office to lord it over somebody. And, of course, then we also need to be merciful, because God has been merciful and is merciful to us. Then he goes on down in verse 9, and he says, love must be sincere. You know, you can have love, but if it's not sincere, it's probably not really the kind of love that God wants, especially as Christians. So we need to be sincere about loving each other and treating each other with love and respect. Then he says, hate evil. Love what is good. How are we at doing that? Do we despise the things that we know are wrong and are evil? Do we speak up and say something sometimes when we see all this going on that we know is evil and we know is wrong? Or do we just kind of pass it by? It makes me think of an old song we used to sing. It's in an old song book compiled by Ellis Crum, who was a member of the Church of Christ, and there's a lot of those around. Sacred Selections, I believe, is the name of it, and I still have it. And this song is entitled, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. And it goes something like this, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. You knew I was astray, and you never mentioned him to me. And that's just a little bit of the song. I should have brought the book so I could read it to you. But are we going to be guilty of that someday when, you know, we all leave this world and start a different life with Christ? Are we going to face the facts that maybe we didn't say anything to somebody about who Jesus is and what he's done for them and how that they can accept him and be forgiven? Song kind of hits home. I'll tell you another illustration about that. I had a neighbor when I lived in Webster Groves when I was a young man, when I was in charge of the youth there. His name was Jerry Giles. He worked for Monsanto Chemical Company, a wonderful neighbor. Had two nice children, a boy and a girl. Did some retaining walls for Jerry and so on. Got well acquainted with him. He lived straight across the street from me. And he knew I went to church. He knew that. And his daughter attended some of our youth meetings and so on. But, you know, I never actually sat down and talked salvation with him. And I got up one morning and there was an ambulance across the street. Jerry had a heart attack, and he died. And I thought of that song, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. Will God hold me accountable? Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there are times when we get a little reluctant to stand up for Christ when we're in the midst of the world. And I want us to think about that and hate what is evil, love what is good. Be a devoter, honor, show zeal, serving the Lord. Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. You know, we're expected as Christians to grow some. And when I look at my life, sometimes I think, you know, I haven't really grown a whole lot. I still struggle with almost the same issues I struggled 20 years ago with. And, you know, we rely on God's forgiveness and God's grace, but He expects us to grow. You remember I think it was Peter said that he had to treat us as newborn babes because we weren't ready for the meat. We weren't ready for the strong part of the word. And I want to read a little passage in 1 Peter to you before I close. Kind of goes along with what I've been talking about. I'm going to read verse 13 through 16 of chapter 1. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners in reverence and fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, talking about the Jews, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. And certainly our faith and hope is in God. You know, he mentioned there in the first reading in Romans about persecution. And he said, not seek revenge. You remember Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he told them to, you know, bless those who persecute you. And of course, falsely accuse you of things that you shouldn't be doing, and so on. But falsely, he said to bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and mourn with those that mourn. Live in harmony with one another. That's what this chapter was. A lot of it was about. Associate with those of low position. Do not be proud or conceited. Kind of revising what we talked about. If we know Paul's advice, we cannot help but make an impact on the lives of those around us. I think that's so important to realize that if we live as Paul has asked us to live there, we're going to affect the people around us. They're going to know we're Christians. We're told that we will be known by our fruits. And so that is part of the fruit. Let us give God the credit. He deserves it. In closing, I'm going to read Romans chapter 13, 11 through 14. Okay, again, I asked. Let me make sure I've got the wrong chapter. Make sure I get rid of these pages. They're so thin, I can't hardly get them to work. Okay, here we go. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Anyone have questions or comments? You know, when I pick these scriptures out, I hope you'll, and she's not here this morning, but Questel writes down almost every scripture that I give her. And I hope that when you do that, that you don't just read the scripture that I gave you, read before it and after it, because context is so important in understanding the Bible. You can
go over several times.
Good. That's great. Thank you. That's a blessing. Not because I said it, but because he said it. Yeah. Any other questions or comments before we close? There's a lot more there. You could make probably 10 sermons off of that passage, but I just wanted to read it and remind you of what he said. You know, do not be conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's reading the scripture, studying and meditating and praying about God's word. Any questions or comments before we close? Before we have the closing prayer, well, kids will be coming up here in just a minute, and go ahead and announce to the congregation what your plans are, Peter, if you don't mind.
On July 26th, we're going to have a biker Sunday here at the church. And we're going to invite the entire community, try to get people come into the church and come into the CMA program. There'll be a guest speaker from the missions program.
Eleven to two will be the
time.
Okay, thank you. And the idea behind that is the idea behind it is to get them here so they know where the church is, so we need to be here to kind of fellowship with them, those of us who are members. And that's an important part of how we reach people.
They don't have to have a motorcycle to come.
Right.
It's open to the entire community. It's just that it's a program called the Biker Sunday.
Yeah. Pray about this and pray that people will show up. People will, and like you said, this is a Christian organization. And, of course, they want to hopefully get some more members, just the same as we need more members here. What about prayer requests? Anybody have prayer requests that they can think of?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Yeah, those are bad. Doctor told me that. I was talking to him about, you know, worried a little bit about my kidneys and this, that, and the other, and the tests he'd given me. And I said, I eat sugar in my cereal. And he said, I'm not too worried about sugar, but he said, I am worried about your carbs because it turns into sugar. And he said, and of course,
carbs are actually worse than sugar.
Yeah, yeah. And, I'm a bread lover. I love bread. And just have to back off and try to stay away from it, you know, best I can.
As long as you're comfortable or rye, you're all right.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. Joe? Am I doing all right?
No. Your friend David.
David. Well, I guess, you know, there's a whole group of people that I went to church with in St. Louis that all have, you're talking about David Stout, who has the pancreatic cancer. And the story behind that, for the benefit of you who don't know, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and they were supposed to be operated on. They cut him open. They said so much cancer that it closed him back up. So he's still alive, because I know I'd had a phone call or something. His dad also has cancer, and so they're getting kind of a double whammy. But his dad has changed. They changed the medication to something that helps his body respond and work against the cancer instead of a chemo type thing. And last time I talked with him, the tumors were shrinking. So that sounds good from that part. Go ahead, Joe. There's a lot of sickness and a lot of people out there. I want to share this with you. My daughter and her husband live in Columbia and work for the University of Missouri. Todd he's in the plumbing department, and my daughter works something public health. She's connected with public health. My granddaughter is a professor at Mizzou, and daughter and her husband and my great-grandchild are coming down the 4th to the farm that weekend. And my daughter and I don't always jive very well. She thinks a lot differently than I do. And I'm really concerned. I don't know if they're in church or not. But her daughter and my granddaughter is going through a divorce now. And I don't know if that's what kind of woke my daughter up or not, but when I talked to her the other day, she said, Dad, pray for Todd and I and Bree and for Jenna and her husband. That's the other sister. And I thought, that's a little different than the way it sounded before when I talked to her. She hadn't asked me to pray for them in a long time. So something's changed. And I'm hoping that I visited with Bree. We went up for the great-granddaughter's first birthday a couple weeks ago, and I visited with Bree and talked to her about the divorce and the issues she's going through, and I said something to her to the fact that I pray for her. I pray for them. We pray for them all the time, almost every day. But she said, well, Grandpa, I'd like to get back in church. And so I thought, well, maybe that'll happen, you know. And it reminded me of the scripture that says a child will lead them. And I remember one of the old elders at Fenton Church of Christ many, many years ago came to church with his wife every Sunday at every meeting, but he wasn't a Christian. And one Sunday, his teenage son got up and went forward. And when he did, Earl followed him. And I thought of that. By a child, they will be led. Anyway, any other prayer request? I know Judy's got some issues. You know, Rick's still struggling with health. There's a lot of stuff out there. Coronavirus is really running rampant right now. This country is really at a crossroads, I think, of either turning toward God or walking away. I think we're at a crossroads, and pray about that, because it's going to be major in what happens in this country in the next few months. Anything else before we close? Larry, would you mind wording our prayer? Let us stand, please.
Father God, we want to thank you for an opportunity to get together, to worship you, to sing your praises, and we just ask that you be with each and every request. There's a lot of pain, suffering, and need out there that we can do nothing about but go to you. We thank you for Brother Wayne as he gave us a good lesson in your word. Allow us, Lord, to take away from here today each and every verse that we read, put it in our heart, share it with others, and we know you honor you if we do that. We thank you for this blessing of another day. Go with us this week and keep us strong and safe, and help us to share your word with other people and the love of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.